One of the things that, kind of one of the principles of this work is that the masculine grows by criticism. So, like when masculine people go to boot camp or something, you know, people go, you worm, you know, another push-up, you can't do it, you know. So, criticism inspires the masculine, and because of that, they think it inspires you. So, I mean, you do the same thing, when, you know, like love, praise inspires you, praise does not inspire men. So you tend to tell men, like all the time, I love you, that means nothing to a man. If you say to a man, I love you, it has a certain effect on his body, mind. But if you say to that same being, I'll follow you anywhere, that's a whole different communication. One is kind of, okay, nice, sure, I love you too. The other is, okay, let's fuck. Or, do you know what I'm talking about? The difference between them? So, we tend to, so you'll tend to tell men that you love them to communicate love, but that's not how men hear love. They hear love through trust. So, when you evidence non-trust to him in any way, it's red in his body mind is, I don't love you, just so you know that. So you can't not trust him and love him in his reality. In your reality you can, but in his reality you can't. I'm just trying to separate realities. I'm going to help him in a second. So, you know, he's coming from this place, if he's like most men, he grows through criticism, he'll tend to share criticism in order to help people grow. He needs to learn that doesn't often help you grow, that it hurts you, that praise would help you much more, that praising you when you were doing the beautiful thing is way better than criticizing you when you're doing the wrong thing. The opposite's true for him, not for you, but for me. Like, I could criticize him, you can't, and we'll get back to that. So, you know, he needs to learn that praise opens you. You need to learn that trust opens him. So my guess is he doesn't feel like you trust him also. And because, which means he doesn't feel like you love him. And so it doesn't matter how you're doing the exercise, if somehow in the exercise you're evidencing a lack of trust of him, even in a moment, like you don't trust the way he did something or say something, or that immediately puts him, any man, in the, well, he feels like you're rejecting him completely. You don't love him. So that the moment you have non-trust, or the moment he has a rejection of you, like you said, like you're not good enough, there's nothing you could do there. It's just the level of human consciousness. All you have to do is relax, and now you're at a more loving level. I mean, we did these. You could do these exercises with a stranger, and not run into this problem, because there's no history. So these exercises in general are much easier with a stranger. You could actually usually go deeper with a stranger because there's not other things going on. It's just with a stranger, then you both leave and you go home and you don't have a partner. You guys have a partner. The trouble is you hit the thing right away because you're here with your partner. So you have the history of your partnership. So it feels like you're not practicing, but really you are. So really you just hit what all the other people who aren't here with their partners are going to hit as soon as they're with their partner. Their version. So it's a good thing. What you're describing is a moment of practice. You know, so we were doing our thing, he criticized me, he needs to learn to praise you, you need to learn that as soon as you lack his trust, he's not going to want to praise you. So it's like a complimentary thing. You can't be holding back, like you don't trust him, waiting for him to praise you. That's a stalemate. So one of you, the more conscious or loving one of you, the more third stage you want in the moment, because it's like a seesaw, the more open one in the moment has to give the gift. So if you happen to be the most open one, you would say something like, or do something like, I'm putting words, I don't really know the situation, but something like, you know, I really am trying to trust you. I want to be in this relationship. I want to trust you. I'm trying. So you're confessing your love of him, like you're trying to love him. You're not telling him he's not trustable, just like he's not telling you you're not good enough. You're confessing your own need. I need to trust you. I'm not trusting. So that they're I words. And he might say to you, something's going on with him. That's why he's criticizing you. I'm not feeling loved. I don't feel you trust me. And that would be the communication. There's no blame in that. It just means he's in a closed, you know, whoever's the most open has to offer the gift. So you either have to give him, you know, trust, or he has to give you love. So one of you has to break through the stalemate and give even though you're not receiving. So the sign of the first stage is when you don't get love, you punish back, which is what you're seeing here. So if you don't get love and you're in the first stage, you go like a little baby, you know, I want love. We all do that, just you guys, I do it every day. So, you know, it's just like, you know, fuck you, or pull back, or you know what, all these childish things that we do. In the second stage, instead of pulling back like that, people are like putting on things, it looks like. So instead of pulling back like that, we discuss it. So we say, when you criticized me, I felt hurt. And he would go, well, when you pulled away from me, I didn't feel you trust me. And you'd say, well, okay, how do we work this out? So you talk about it in a civilized way without blaming each other. And in the third stage, you just both look at your bodies constantly complaining and blaming each other, which they'll do the rest of your life, and enjoy life. I don't know how to say it. You just love each other and your bodies do their thing. Now, a lot of your shit, his shit, your shit, my shit, everyone's, I'm just talking to you right now, it's not even yours. It's your parents, it's your grandparents, it's your genetics, it's your races. I mean, it's all of women, it's all of men. It's so, you know, there's like, I'm sure you all know this, I'm a scientist before I did all this, there's epigenetics. So our actual genetics in our cell get changed by experience. So if our grandparents were in a trauma, in a famine, let's say, or in a war, in the Holocaust or something, so a lot of grandparents of our age were in some pretty serious shit, they carry, their genes get changed, and the stress that they're feeling gets passed on to their children and then to us. So we're sitting here carrying, and I'm not like making this up, you could read about, there's books about it, articles, it's huge. We're carrying the genetic result of whatever, the Holocaust, starvation, war, from our grandparents. So he says something, it's probably triggering your fucking grandfather's thing that he experienced, and so it's not even yours. I mean, it's not, you should be able to just go, holy fucking shit, you know, like, Jesus, look at this thing, you know, body, mind, blah, 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 fuck you, wow, how amusing, it's angry all the time, you know, it's like, it's not you, it's, in the sense, like, you could cut your nails, and you don't diminish when you do that. They're your nails, unless you're identified with your nail, I guess then you'd feel diminished. But you only feel diminished if you're identified with something, and spiritual growth is about identifying less and less with anything, and more with the nature of things that's living all of us, that never changes, that's life itself. So there's nothing I could do about the crunch that you guys are in, except for you guys to learn to enjoy that crunch. And maybe it's your grandparents talking to each other, I don't know. But that's just not the topic of this workshop, because that can't be worked out. There's nothing you can, once you're closed, and once you don't trust him, and once he's criticizing you, game over. You can't talk your way out of that. You just have to go, oh, artifact, bonk, you know, like, it's like you have a pimple. Like you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you have a pimple or something. It might make a bad day, but you don't kill it. Well, maybe you do kill yourself, I don't know, but it's just like, fuck, pimple, I have to deal with that. Fuck, his grandmother's coming through today, fuck, you know. It's just life. I don't know how to say it. But you can't, if you think that can be fixed, so if you think you could get the relationship to a point where he's praising you instead of criticizing you, you're going to live in a hell because you're waiting for something that's never going to happen. Just the fact that you want him to praise you and not criticize you will make him criticize you in any moment you don't trust him, because he's punishing you back. And you don't trust him. So you're sitting in a disposition now of distrust. You're not warmly trusting him in the moment. And because of that, unless he was a very strong third stage practitioner, which is possible, he's going to move into your space of not loving you. You don't trust him. He can't love you unless he's a super strong practitioner. So all these guys are like him. You know, ladies, raise your hand if you have felt criticized or belittled by your man. It's a pretty standard. And also, just so you understand even a bigger picture for everybody, is the feminine is blamed for everything, basically, like Eve. Because, remember, the masculine sense of existence is consciousness itself, which is pristine. There's nothing in it. It's nothing. So how could it not be pristine? And as soon as you walk into that consciousness, into that pristineness with your emotions and body and love and the demand for someone to say hi, that feels like a fall from the garden. That feels like, to the masculine, that feels like a something they have to deal with. It feels kind of like work. So the feminine always blames itself. So men blame the feminine and women blame the feminine. So when a woman's in a relationship that's not working, if they're feminine identified, they tend to feel, what am I doing wrong? Or can I do something so he loves me more? And again, that's constant. That's like pooping and peeing. So like in your day, what a day of practice would be like is like your heart is practicing love. So this is ridiculous. So your heart is practicing love, but your body, mind, your karma, your genetic structure, this thing that you inherited from your parents. So your heart is giving love, but your genetic structure is like shitting, peeing, arguing, working, making money, stubbing toes, fuck, dropping things, breaking them, getting sick, getting well. He's getting sick, getting well. His patterns are coming up and insulting you. He's laying on you. At any moment he's not happy, it's going to be your fault. I mean, who else is there to blame? It can't possibly be his. So, and you know, if you're not happy, it's got to be his fault. I mean, you can't possibly be happy with an asshole like that. I mean, so what you do is you love through while all of that is happening. So, you know, I have a lot of those things. I've inherited and just developed my own. I'm a neurotic as hell, let me put it that way. So, as my neuroses clunk through all day, it's super entertaining to me. It's a pain in the ass. Do I wish I had a different body mind? Hell yes. I wish I had, I don't know, George Clooney's body mind. I don't know who, but I mean, I got this. It's a pain in the ass, but practice from the masculine side is to love exactly what's happening, or to be conscious as whatever it is. And what happens is your unique karma, which remember, you picked this guy, you know. So your unique karma, which is driving you, so to speak, to choose him and stay with him and then complain and fight and do exactly what you're doing, is your front envelope of practice. That, so the obstruction is the way. So you come to this with him, and that's it. That's the forefront of your practice. That's like a comet going through space. That's like the head of the comet. So if you're practicing, you're almost always up against that edge. Because as soon as you get through this, boom, you might have a day or two, but then you're going to come to your next edge. And the more you practice, the more, well, at a certain point of practice, your edge is fairly open, and so you're feeling everyone else's edge. So basically, you walk outside, and it feels like you're in a hospital or something, and people are being blown to bits. You have to help, because what are you going to do? Relax and have a cigarette and a drink while people are dying all around you or something. It feels insane. So right now you're preoccupied with your body mind's closures. When you open through this enough, you'll still have an infinite number of closures that will be your cutting edge, but around you people's closures will be so much more than yours. You'll be dealing with theirs. So but the feeling of your life, whether it's your stuff or other people's stuff, will be ouch, ouch, ouch. I don't know how to say it. Just like crunk. And you have to love that. So literally in your case, it would be something like you're with him. He's just criticized you. He's not praising you. You're pissed at him. And in that moment to feel, I've chosen this. I clearly love him criticizing me. I love getting angry at him. And in that moment, you need to love what's happening. It is love. It's literally made of love. It's, you're with him for the sake of love. You're born from your parents' love. We're moved by love. So love is trying to work itself out through us, and it's coming to a blockage between the two of you. It's not a negative thing. That blockage was there, like I say, maybe it's your grandparents. So you're born to suffer through those blockages unpopping. It's like, ugh, it hurts, because it's always a death. It's always letting go of something we're comfortable with. So it feels like we're going to die. It feels like we're going to risk something huge. Our relationship, our life, our money, anything. But the emotional feeling is we're fucking going to die. Like, so a good practitioner, I mean, they take breaks, and it's enjoyable in this workshop. It's enjoyable, but it's also really intense. The feeling of leaning into the obstruction with him is the dance. That is the practice. There is no other practice. There's no time when it's... I don't know anyone. I know a lot of spiritual practitioners who don't experience that every day. With their partner, with their friends, with the world, with the plumbing, with the electricity, with... like, so everything he says is very true and beautiful, and it'll be that way forever. So that's not a reason to stop. So the expression would be, he doesn't praise me enough. I don't trust him. That's our edge. Let's play there.